Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Why I Hate This Movie. I'm your host, Derek Rios, and with always, my co-host and heterosexual life mate, Danny Newton, and we are the Misfits of Cinema. How are you doing today, Danny?
Pretty good, Derek. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're talking about Scientology.
Yes, yes. This is definitely the origin of it.
Not really. Scientology was around, like, way before this.
Well, this is how they got their funding.
This is... this might be directly funded by Scientology.
Yeah, because it was this, then Battlefield Earth.
Yeah. You're right. Poster child of Scientology himself, Tom Cruise, mm-hmm. in Mission Impossible.
Yeah. The OG.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is based off of an old TV show?
Yes.
Is it a British show?
No. This was an American spy show.
Okay.
This show aired back in the 60s through the 70s, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And honestly, this movie kind of felt it.
I mean, so this always just seemed like, okay, this is the U.S.'s knockoff of James Bond.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Ethan Hunt is definitely U.S. James Bond.
007.
Yes. Yeah. This movie was pretty much just like a 30th anniversary
mm-hmm.
of this series.
The movie.
Yeah.
Oh, this, yeah.
And we're basically sitting here on the 30th anniversary
almost
of this movie.
I forgot how old this movie was going into this.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was this old.
When I said, hey, let's talk about Mission Impossible, I was thinking like, oh, it's like, you know, late or early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it was 96.
Yeah. Whenever I thought Mission Impossible, I was thinking, oh, well, this came out in the late 90s, like in the same mm-hmm. time as, like, you know, X-Men and crap like that come out, right?
Yeah.
In my mind, that's kind of where it sits.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I was not expecting it to be quite this old.
And it shows.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Because you see all the high-tech spy technology gear, they're using floppy disks. These bros are on Windows 95.
Did you see the size of that floppy disk to hold a text file?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's one text file, and it's a fucking...
I think it was like 200 and something megabytes on this floppy disk. Like,
and that's a big floppy.
Okay? That's what I was thinking, too. It's like, that floppy is massive.
That's a spy floppy disk. Okay? Yeah. It's special. You saw it. It was like double layered.
Yeah, it's got multiple platters in the floppy.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Mm.
But it's definitely different. It is so different from what we get today.
Yeah, this right? is before all the spiced up and action and thriller. And this is just spy versus spy conspiracy movie.
Yes, very much so.
And you know what? One of the biggest things, I don't think I've seen this since in 20 years. Right? Yeah,
I've never seen this before today.
Yeah, but I mean, I watched it a couple times as a kid. Mm-hmm. I didn't really like it. I don't know if I like it now. But I don't think I ever understood this movie. When I was young, I never fully understood this movie.
The plot was very convoluted.
Yes.
Right. Like I was telling you before we started this, I just from the casting, I knew exactly who the bad guys were.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew. As soon as I saw John Voight, he's the bad guy.
Generally.
Yeah. Like I said, never having seen this before, like, he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
And as soon as it said, oh, that's John Voight's wife, mm-hmm. she's in on it.
But we don't know that.
Well, we don't know that.
But they do know that.
But they do know that, yeah.
So we'll get to that.
As far as, like, the cinematography of this goes, I thought it looked good for a mid-90s film.
I honestly hated a lot of the camera angles have this weird, it's trying to be edgy and artistic, but it's like this weird sideways upward angle.
A lot of stuff was shot like that back then.
Why?
Really? It's just a product of the time. I don't know what it is. What do they call it? The Dutch angle or whatever? Where it's kind of shot at an angle to the side. I'm not sure why.
It just looks so awkward now.
It is weird framing.
You're just looking up in everyone's nostrils and their face. And mm-hmm. It's like everyone's trying to do a selfie.
Yeah.
And there's this weird moments in the movie where it's like, okay, this you are looking through the glasses because they have, he just puts on some normal glasses and it's like, oh, these are super tech spy glasses and that you have a camera built into.
Yeah.
And it shows, it's like a little line by wire scene where it's just the camera moving and they're interacting with you as like you're the person.
Yeah, they had to shoot it like that because these cameras didn't actually exist.
No.
These cameras were theoretical then.
Yeah. Now you're just like, snap on a GoPro. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It really sticks out to me now.
They were doing some modern stuff. They had cell phones in this. That blew my mind.
Well, this is like the start of cell phones.
Yeah.
Right? Were they cell phones or they're just carrying around cordless phones?
No, I mean, it looked like they were just carrying around cordless house phones.
That's what I thought.
But they were pretending they were Nokia cell phones, right?
Mm.
There wouldn't have been that many cellular towers back in that day. A lot of the character motivations felt kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like a lot of things. Well, this story is very cookie cutter, right?
Yeah.
The entire plot is Ethan Hunt is essentially a CIA MI6 style agent, right?
Mm-hmm. It's called the MI. It's Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
It's the actual division.
Yeah.
Impossible Mission?
Something like that. The Impossible Whopper. Anyways.
They're all made out of not meat.
Yes, they're all made out of not meat. The story is very cookie cutter. He's essentially James Bond. They go on an op to retrieve a MacGuffin.
Well,
but
so they've done this in a bunch of movies.
Yes.
I see this all the time in spy movies where it's like, oh, they're going to leak the list of all the agents in the world, all the secret agents. Like there's a list out there with all of them on it.
It's the football. It's the MacGuffin that drives the whole story.
Yeah.
Right. They're trying to intercept this list from being, by the looks of it, to keep it from being handed off to another intelligence agency that's going to out all their agents, right?
Was it intelligence agency?
It looked like she was part of an intelligence agency.
So I think Max was just a underground mediator between her and the bad
guys. She could have just been a buyer.
I think she was a buyer and she was a seller.
Yeah.
I think she was going to sell it to
obviously the Ruskies at this time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoever the bad guys were.
Yeah. I bet they had thick Russian accents.
Maybe. It's probably one of those things where they have an auction and they get one of each of all the...
Yes, the Axis of Evil.
Yeah, Axis of Evil, yeah. You got the Russian, the Chinese.
Guys with turbans.
Yeah, guys with turbans. Yeah. All the Muslim countries and communist countries.
Yes.
Yeah.
The double cross is what throw me off the most, right?
Yeah.
So there's a double cross. All of Ethan's Hunt's team gets killed.
Yep.
That he's aware of.
Yeah.
And then the other MI team happens to be in the same city watching them work. And instead of just killing Ethan, brings him in to apprehend him, arrest him.
Yeah. So
this is what I thought was so super weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that after the primary team gets killed.
Yeah.
And Ethan is in the safe... essentially the safe cafe with the MI director.
Well, it's not. That's just their meeting spot.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the green zone. Ethan's like, my entire team got killed.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy totally takes credit for it, mm-hmm. sitting there.
Yeah.
Even though he had nothing to do with it. Did you catch that?
He didn't take credit for it. He just said, you're the only one alive.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, we set up the sting.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole operation was fake, right?
Yeah, the whole entire operation. So they set up an operation with a mark that would have a fake disc on them in order to catch the mole who would be stealing the information from MI headquarters.
Yeah.
Right?
So he's not taking credit for the fact that his team got killed.
I thought he was.
No, it's just the fact that he's like, okay, I knew that if I set this up, something would happen and you would out yourself to steal this.
Yes.
Right? So that's what he figured. And that's why he was like, you're the only one left alive. Bing, bang, boom. You are the mole. But that's not so true, right?
Yeah, that's not so true.
This is the part I remember as a kid that was like, I don't understand this. It felt awkward. This whole thing, just the whole interaction.
Yeah.
And what they're doing. You know, and it doesn't fully make sense to me. Like, why they're here and what this place is.
So the other MI team had eyes on them the whole time.
Yeah.
And they could obviously see that Ethan didn't actually kill these people.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was running from location to location.
Yeah.
And nobody saw him pull a trigger or fucking knife anybody or anything. That's what didn't make sense to me. Because Ethan was under the impression that this guy did his whole team.
Yeah.
But this guy is under the impression that Ethan did his whole team.
So Ethan's not under the impression that he killed him.
Okay.
No, because he's under the impression that someone set them up, and this guy just had a team there watching them.
Yeah.
And seeing the outcome. What happens is, so there's six of them, right?
Yeah. Let's see. Is Ethan?
There's three girls and three guys.
Three women, and yeah, three guys.
Yeah. One of them is the Mighty Ducks coach.
Yeah.
And he dies first.
Emilio Estevez gets crushed into spikes.
Yeah. The little spikes come down to the top of the elevator, and he goes up, and instead of, like, obviously going down the side of it, which it shows him earlier, he could fit down the side of the elevator.
Yeah, like he did before.
He just looks up and just splat, and then, like, okay, he gets stabbed in the face.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Good spy work. and then the one of the girls hops into an exploding car, and you think there's two girls in there, right? Because you see the other one in there first. But it turns out she hops out and detonates it, right?
Yes.
And then...
But she doesn't.
She does.
No, because it turns around during the other flashback and shows John Voight detonating it.
But that whole scene is what I didn't understand as a child.
Okay.
And we'll get to that. Because that scene is him replaying it, but he's not sure which way it goes.
Okay.
John Voight, right?
John Voight, yeah.
John Voight, he gets shot on the bridge.
Yes.
And it looks really funny, just the whole interaction, because you can obviously tell.
Yeah, he's overacting.
He's overacting. It's his arm. And if he's being chased and sees someone behind him, which it doesn't make sense, the fact that we know now that, okay, he was faking it the whole time. He's a bad guy. He was staging it. And why would he act like someone's chasing him for the camera when no one's watching him,
right?
That he knows of.
Right.
But
and Ethan is so quick up onto these locations, he knows that there's nobody else there.
Yeah.
Right.
He gets there right as he's falling off the bridge, effectively, and there's no one else there. And then then you're supposed to have two girls die in an explosion, and he dies on the bridge, and then Mighty Ducks coach
died in the elevator.
Died in the elevator. So it's just Ethan and then Claire, which is the bad guy's wife.
Yes.
Which I don't think I ever knew that was his wife until I watched it today.
Yeah.
Which definitely changes some things, right? Because I thought her and Ethan were banging the entire time.
I mean,
because
they're in the same age bracket.
They are. Because that guy's old enough to be her dad.
Yeah.
And of course, Tom Cruise is a baby in this.
Yeah.
Which he's probably like 20s, but still, he's really young.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that and like their interaction in the first op, where it shows them, where it introduces you to these characters at the start of the movie, it he has like this moment where he's checking on her to see if she's really dead, and he's like just brushing her gently like they're in a relationship, and it's like, okay, obviously they have the hots for each other.
Right.
But maybe she's just playing the long con.
I mean, maybe.
But anyways, so they, and then the last chick is, they're following this target that sneaks out from under the elevator, and then, like, he has this weird escape because he's stuck in this room, the elevator's gone, so he goes out this, like, duct or whatever.
Yeah.
A small passage, and then he's just like, all right, I'm just gonna have a smoke now, and then starts walking away casually, and she follows him, and he's getting stabbed to death.
Yep.
And
somehow she gets stabbed to death too. Yeah,
the guy's behind a fence and he's getting stabbed to death, and she's 5 feet away from him and sees this happening. So what's she do then? Walks over to the gate and be like, hey, what's going on? Why are you stabbing this guy? And the guy starts stabbing her. It's like, yeah, what the fuck? How did you get caught? You're a spy. You're not just a lingerie model all these women obviously look like.
Yeah, it was pretty absurd. It was pretty absurd.
So they're all dead, and then he goes to has this meeting.
Yes.
This is another stupid point, too, where, okay, they have this, the cue moment where it's like, oh, here's a sweet explosive bomb where it's some gum, and you mash it up, and 5 seconds, it'll explode into a bomb.
Yeah.
Which, okay, I get, you know, chemical, yeah, it might work, but this is like a dry piece of gum. It's fucking zebra gum.
Yeah.
And he squishes it up and throws it. And when he throws it, it sticks like he's been chewing on it for 5 minutes and it's covered in saliva.
Well, it doesn't mean it's not necessarily a sticky compound.
You really think you just squish it and it's not dry anymore?
I mean, it could just be like C4 or something.
Maybe.
It could be something tacky, some sort of plastic explosive.
Gum aside.
Yeah.
It explodes, and there's like a fish tank in this place.
Yeah.
And the entire place erupts in a this cascade of river.
Granted, I didn't get a good view of how big this fish tank is.
Even this, it was one wall.
But the thing
it's
is...
It's flowing off the roof and everything. Like, the entire building was covered with a fish tank.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. But this fish tank literally could have been multiple stories tall.
Okay.
If this fish tank was supposed to be the central centerpiece of this restaurant or cafe or whatever was multiple stories tall.
Okay.
This fish tank could have been multiple stories tall.
All right. So fish tank's super big. Got it.
Yeah.
He just runs out of the building and there's like, all right, cut to that. He got away.
Yeah.
So there's no effort to chase him or pursue him at all.
Blowing the fish tank up was kind of like a distraction. It wasn't actually to disable the agents. It was like a distraction.
So what? They have to like catch the fish and try to chase him down this guy? No.
It was more like, oh my God, he threw a fucking grenade on the ground.
Well, he murdered the one guy.
Oh, I mean, it's entirely possible that dude died. That one
random fucking waiter is obviously just a normal waiter.
Yeah, blew through the front of the restaurant.
Or actually, that might have been one of the agents.
Yeah.
Still, that guy's dead.
It's entirely possible that guy's dead.
Entirely possible?
It's possible.
He got launched. There's a lot of entirely possible.
I'm just saying, Iago, you'd be surprised what you can live through, okay?
You're right. Yeah.
He didn't kill anybody else.
Sure.
Except for John Voight at the end and other guy. I can't remember his name.
The French guy.
Yeah.
He's the French guy and everything.
Yeah.
And all right. So at this point, he's like, all right, he's got to clear his own name because they've blacklisted him. And the agency's looking for him.
Yeah.
He goes about it in the most backwards fucking way you could possibly think of.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm just going to assume the identity of Job.
Yeah.
Which he mentioned something about. He uses Bible verses, right?
Yeah.
And he catches on the whole Job thing. 3:14, right?
Yeah.
And instead of being like, all right, I'm going to figure out who Job is. He's like, I'm going to be Job and do his job for him. That way his buyer will hand Job to me. So he goes and gets them the actual list.
Yeah.
Okay.
They could have just made a fake list.
Which that's not the first time that I think they do this in almost every Mission Impossible movie. It's where it's like, oh man, this bad guy wants this fucking real bad thing that if it got out, it's going to cost a lot. Countries are going to fall. Governments will collapse. People, mass death. And you know.
Well, it's not, it's basic. It's not even
and
that.
And they always go and get them for them, the bad guys.
Yeah. They could have faked the list.
Yeah.
They could have just faked the list.
They could have.
Because the buyer doesn't know any better.
No, but you had to throw in a reason for them to do this heist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much the same in every movie. That we have to have this, in every Mission Impossible movie, it feels like we have to have this heist and this super high security. And who has a super high security? Only governments.
Mm-hmm.
We have the famous scene. It was a lot different than I remember.
It was almost like very much a high-tech MacGyver scene.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It had that old school feel to it, which, like I said, is trying to emulate something from fucking 30 years ago. Even though this is a very simple sequence of events that happens, I wonder what it would have been like sitting in this theater. Even just sitting in the living room in there a while ago watching this, when the volume just completely drops out, when he drops into the room, it got just fucking deathly silent, right?
Yeah.
I wish I knew what that theater feel felt like, because I bet that moment, just that feeling, is what sold this movie.
I think so.
Yeah. It didn't have to be anything stupid or silly. It didn't have to be action over the top.
I feel like I saw this in theaters. For some reason, I remember sitting there, and it just, everyone was deathly silent.
Yeah, because even sitting there watching it, you know, I live in a time where this has been cliched to death. Like, I've seen this scene a bunch of times. Even I was just like, I felt like I was breathing quieter.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, because
the scene, because the scene wanted me to breathe quieter.
It's a good scene.
Yeah.
It's a good scene, but...
So, I imagine the theater experience for, like, this 5 minutes alone is literally what sold this movie. I bet people walked out of there and were like, dude, go see this movie. It's going to blow your mind. There's a scene in here that's you've never seen anything like it before.
Yeah. It was the scene.
Yeah.
I mean, it was interesting, but when it comes down to it, it was pretty simplistic.
Yeah. This is very basic.
They just think they crawl through a vent large enough that you could drive through.
Yeah.
And then so and the whole thing is, okay, you can't, anything louder than a whisper will set off the thing. If it gets hotter than 1 degree, it'll set off the alarm.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, anything touches the floor, even at a drop all. Of sweat.
Yeah.
The room was actually a lot smaller than I remember. I thought it was a larger room.
I mean, height-wise, it was large.
Not really.
Height-wise, it was large enough to hoist up a full-grown man in a standing position and probably still have like 5 foot of head height between him and the guy on the ground.
Yeah, but Tom Cruise is only like 3 feet tall.
He is kind of short.
He's like 5 foot tall. But I'm saying, I'm pretty sure if it showed Tom Cruise, if it zoomed out and showed Tom Cruise hanging above this guy, he'd be this, like 2 feet above that guy.
I bet it was like a 20-foot ceiling.
I don't think it was that high.
I bet it was.
When they first show that room, the main room is like 10 feet, and then there's like another 5 feet up to that vent. I think it's all camera angles. And it's just, I just think it's a lot of camera angles and visual effects.
Yeah.
But it I don't think it's very big.
Yeah, maybe not. They do the heist job. The heist job goes more or less successfully. Franchi drops his knife and the agent's like,
which,
huh? What was that noise? Where'd this come from?
Yeah.
Like a fucking Metal Gear Solid soldier. Huh? What was that noise?
And they had the old trope of, oh, there's lasers protecting it, and you can't see lasers like that. That's not how lasers work. We know that now.
Right. That was for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They definitely made noises louder than a whisper. Whenever he drops him and he almost hits the ground, Frenchie's like, oh, there's a rat here. I got to kill it. Killing this rat's more important than this mission at this moment.
Yeah. After the heist, they go back to London.
Well, so one thing I've read is apparently in the heist scene where Tom Cruise is balancing mm-hmm. above the ground there, where he almost hits the floor.
Yeah.
When they were shooting this, his head kept hitting. So to balance himself out, I think they actually weighted the shoes.
I would imagine when they were shooting this scene, if they were actually dropping him on a wire, I imagine he probably actually smacked the ground a few times.
Maybe.
I bet he did.
But I think I read that he actually put quarters in his shoes. To kind of like weigh himself down.
I could believe that. Put lead in his shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we forgot the part where after the whole team dies, he goes back. He escapes. He goes back and to the apartment. He falls asleep after he sends this email to Max and mm-hmm. he passes out and has his little dream. And then the chick shows up.
Yeah. Claire, yeah.
Claire.
Yeah. Clara? The bad guy's wife.
Yeah, Claire. Tom Cruise's, Ethan Hutch's love interest.
Yeah.
Not the bad guy's wife. I don't even think they were ever married. That was obviously her dad.
Yeah, she definitely had daddy issues.
Yeah. And of course, he's just like, I saw you die.
Yeah, I saw you explode.
And then she's just like, oh, I love you. Just here's some vajayjay. And
you
he's
were,
like, you're right.
You were
right.
In the car. I got out of the car. But why? It was your job to be in the car.
You said bail.
Yeah. That means drive off with the car.
Yeah. And she was like, I got worried and I went and checked. I had to check on my husband. And he was just like, I was on the bridge. I didn't see you. You didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. He should have capped her then.
He should have.
Yeah.
It would have saved us a lot of trouble later.
Yeah. I don't know. Like they do that whole, like, is she a bad guy, is she not a bad guy thing a lot. And it's so obvious that she is.
Well, there's one thing that actually gives her away. And it's not just, do you know what it is?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Do you have any idea?
Well, for one, her story not adding up. Well, that's what solidly, what I just said is what solidly gave it away for me.
Okay, her story not adding up, like, they could have missed each other, whatever.
Right.
Right? That's not 100%. So he, after, when he's contacting her, when he's contacting Max for the second time,
yeah,
he notices in the Bible that the hotel, the Chicago hotel, is
it was the hotel he said he stayed at.
Yeah, they clearly stated he stayed at the hotel, and there's a reason why. It was the Gideon or something like that, right?
No, the Bible was a Gideon Bible.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. The hotel stamped the Bible because that's where he got the Bible from.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And the hotel stamped it, so that's what he knew, that was his Bible,
mm-hmm.
and that was in the Bible verses. that he was using to communicate with Max. That's why he knew. Yeah, that's why he knew that.
I don't know what his actual character name is.
That's why he knew Voight. I can't think of John Voight's character name, but that's
why he knew he was Job.
Yeah, that's why he knew he was Job, right? So, and then he's still not sure about Clara, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the scene where it really throws me off. Because John Voight reveals himself once they get back to America after the whole heist, right?
Yeah, well, actually, once they go back to London.
It was London?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and they have this whole thing where it's like, hey, I managed to get away. I've been tracking you. I finally caught up with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, that CIA guy that's after you, or the other, the director, whoever it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
He's the real bad guy. He's the mole.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, it makes sense, right? I never understood this scene. You have the scene where...
It does the flashbacks where he's playing out in his head.
Yep. And this is the whole flashbacks of it playing out in the head is what Ethan Hunt is thinking of how it played out.
Yes.
Even though he's talking to him like, oh, this is what the CIA director did, but Ethan Hunt's putting all the puzzle pieces together.
Yeah.
I never understood as a kid. And then the whole thing where it played out as he fake shoots himself, right?
Yes.
On the bridge, covers himself in blood, falls out. And then he has Frenchie is there with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Frenchie stabs him. And he knows it's Frenchie. He's the one that stabs the guy they were following.
Yes.
The mark. And the chick who, you know, got magnetized to the gate for some reason.
Yes.
And they're both standing, even though they're like dead and being, you know, bleeding out.
Yeah, very dead.
He knows it's them because when he drops his knife, he notices it's the same knife that they stabbed the girl with, right?
Yes.
So he knows it's Frenchie ever since they did the mission.
Right.
So, and then he's thinking.
He noticed it was Frenchie the moment that he caught Frenchie's hand when he's going to stab the security guard.
Yeah.
He said, we're not killing anybody.
Yeah.
And that's when he noticed the knife.
Yeah.
Because it's the exact same knife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that he knew Frenchie was not on his side.
Right.
And also the part where Frenchie tried to double cross him and take the data. Anyways, right?
Yeah.
That should have been a big hint. He's playing it out like, okay, Clara got out of the car, blew up other girl.
Yeah.
But he's like, no. I love her. I, you know, she's putting out that pussy. I want to, she's in the clear. So, you know what? I bet you climbed out of the water and then blew up the car. You just happened to have it timed. You knew she was going to be in there. It's a little far fetched.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then he's like, in his mind, he's trying to clear Claire because he's still in love with her, right?
Yeah.
And then Voight just kind of plays it off like, yeah, you can't tell her. You can't tell her about me. You know, it'd break her heart or whatever. You know, I'm sure she's really been struggling. She's really been struggling, you know.
Yeah.
With you. Fell right into your arms, just honeypotting them real good. But so he's still on the fence at this point.
Right.
Until the very end where he pretends to be Voight's character and gets her to confess, like, oh, hey, let's not kill Ethan. Let's just go and get out of here. Take the money and go.
Right.
But there is one thing that gives her away.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, after the whole Frenchie thing where he tries to take the disc.
Yeah.
She says, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have suggested him. I brought him in. That was my fault.
Yeah.
Right there. Boom. That's where you know that, okay, she's obviously not on my side. She brought in this guy who I know now was there and was working with Voight's character.
Yeah.
That's the biggest mistake to give her away.
So at the very end of this, when they're on the train and Vin Rains is like jamming the comm signals and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Ethan sets the trap for her and he's dressed up as John Voight with the mask on. Do you think that scene would have been better? Do you think it would have been more, she would actually believe that was John Voight, say if like he had cut his face off and surgically transplanted John Voight's face onto him?
Yeah.
And just, you know, completely changed his body type on a molecular level from the ground up.
It would have been better. It would have been more believable.
Much more believable, right?
But then Voight would have to be Cruz.
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry about all that medical stuff. Just take a couple of ibuprofen. You'll be fine.
Well, yeah.
Won't even hurt.
He had to be, because if they're going to take his face, he has to be. They'd have to swap. No.
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
just put a fucking mask on.
Some of the mask work was good. With the whole Voight thing was obviously just him wearing a mask and then they kind of transitioned.
The mask work in this wasn't that great because the CGI at the time.
But it's not CGI.
I mean, it's green screen.
Yeah. No.
I don't think this was CGI. This isn't prosthetics.
It is.
Because it blurs too much whenever he pulls it off.
I think it's them doing a film over with both actors.
You think so?
So or it's not so
because I don't think it's a physical mask.
The first time, right? He takes the form of an old person.
Yes.
And it was real obvious on that TV that that guy was just the same Tom Cruise wearing a mask.
Yes.
So that way it was just prosthetics and he rips a mask off and it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it looked real, right? But later on, I think it was Voight, and when he has a little piece of rubber on him and starts ripping it off, and then it cuts to Tom Cruise ripping a fake mask off. I think that it's real. There's no CGI involved in this.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
The only CGI is that shitty fucking helicopter.
Yes.
Which the whole ending of this movie is dumbfounded.
Yeah.
The whole plan going into it is like, okay, we're going to give Max the actual files.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, the list is here. Sweet. You could have given like, what are you doing? And like, oh, we're just going to jam the signal that way. That'll give us long enough time. Oh,
she doesn't have a good memory.
Yeah. To be fair, them trying to transmitting through a satellite signal back then probably would have taken them a few days.
Yeah.
So you would have been safe.
Yeah, but it would take hours.
His whole plan was, oh, we have to have enough time for, you know, we got to jam this signal. That way they can't transmit the signal. And then that way we could play out this whole plot where we reveal that Voight's character was a bad guy. Ethan Hunt was good all along. And then, oh, hey, we'll go back and capture them after that's all said and done. But they could have just been like, oh, hey, let's get off the train. The whole train sequence, and then the plan for Voight to get off the train with the helicopter, a bullet train?
Yes.
We don't have any bullet trains in here.
No, it's in Europe.
It is in Europe. Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. At the last scene where you have Voight and Claire in this little triangle, and she's like, don't kill him, let's just go. And Ethan has the super tech glasses, revealing him to the CIA. It's feeding to the CIA agent's TV watch.
Smartwatch. Yeah.
Smartwatch. Which is way before. Apple obviously ripped this off.
Yes.
And then, which is pretty fake, he shoots Clara, kills her, and then just knocks Ethan out. Why doesn't he just murder Ethan at this point?
His gun was only two shots.
Was it?
Yeah. You didn't see him setting it up?
Oh.
It was a two shot.
I saw him putting the gun together. I just figured he had more than two bullets.
No, he shoots her first for some reason.
Yeah.
Even though she should probably shoot him first.
Well, he was just really upset that he got outed mainly because she was, I don't know, in love with Ethan and to have sex with him. Yeah, it's probably because she.
But
him.
No, his gun was a two shot.
Yeah,
that's why he didn't just continue to pull the trigger into Ethan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why he chose to shoot her first. I would shoot the actual threat first myself, but that's just me.
I mean, she bitch cheated on him. Okay.
Fuck.
Which the fact that he knows that she cheated on him means that he was watching.
Yeah.
He was watching them bump uglies.
I mean, look how old he is. It's probably not the first time he sat in the corner. Okay.
Wait.
That little chair is in a hotel room for reasons.
You're right. He watched and was, man, like he had enough willpower to be like, I'm not gonna go kill him right now. I gotta get this money first, and then I'm gonna murder both of them.
I mean, I'm sure he was doing more than watching. I don't know. It was so nonsensical.
And the whole, okay, we're gonna drag this helicopter. Do you think a helicopter could fly through a tunnel like that?
Fuck no. Lord, no. Even if it could, by the time that other bullet train went past them, that would have splattered the helicopter.
Oh, yeah. There's no way that helicopter wouldn't have flown into a wall at some point.
Right.
And jacked up its propellers.
Right. That thing was
its blades.
Doomed.
Yeah.
There was no way.
He was just the best driver ever. And the only reason he crashed is because he got greedy and wanted to
hit him with the blades.
Hit him with the blades. And then Ethan lived that. The explosion at the end, which launched him back onto the train. He's fine, though.
So he called the director of the CIA, knowing that the director would know that he's in London.
Mm-hmm.
But still, the director wouldn't know where he's doing this meeting at unless he actually called him off screen and said, hey, we're taking the train.
Yeah, I don't know.
So,
and on top of that, he only brought one old dude with him.
Yeah.
So that way it made him look like...
I'm assuming that we're to assume that his entire team was on board this train somewhere.
I guess.
We only saw him and his Q scientist.
Yeah. Was that the Q scientist? I thought that was old man from the show. I don't know.
He looked like... I'm serious. He looked like an original series actor.
Probably.
That was tech guy. Okay. So, as movies go, this wasn't really that bad.
No, it was definitely a lot more story driven than most of the.
Yeah,
but the new ones now are super entertaining, and they still have decent stories to follow.
I blame
Fast and Furious.
Yeah, I blame Fast and Furious. If you think about it, this movie is just like Fast and Furious, right? Where the first Fast and Furious movie was about drag racing.
Yeah.
Even though it was stupid, it was still about drag racing.
It's still in VCRs.
Now Fast and Furious movies are we are fucking CIA operatives who drive cars and, you know, invade foreign countries on four wheels.
And fly out in space.
Hey. Where this started. This humble beginning. It went from this to just the absolute nuts, just action scene packed movies that we get today that are Mission Impossible.
It did kind of start around then too, because this is the first one. It's real chill. The second one is a Michael Bay film.
I've never seen it either.
It's the worst one.
I can't remember what was my first Mission Impossible movie.
It's not Michael Bay. Who's the Dove guy?
I don't know.
Who's the guy that always releases dubs?
Oh, John Woo.
Yeah, okay. The second one's a John Woo movie.
I don't think that was my first one. I think 3 might have been my first one.
Yeah, so the 3 was the wife.
Yeah.
And the wife gets kidnapped, and he's chasing her down. So the third one is actually...
Actually, no, I guess not. Maybe it is 4 that was my first one.
Okay, so the fourth one, they bring in Simon Pegg as the...
Shit, I cannot remember. It's either 3 or 4.
Yeah. I think 4 was...
But I know I didn't watch the second one either.
I think it was Ghost Protocol. They really don't start getting crazy and over the top until 4.
Yeah.
Kind of like Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Like the fifth one's where Fast and Furious really takes off.
Yeah.
Everything before that was like, okay, it's about cars and, you know.
Yeah. Now silly it's...
backstory.
Now Mission Impossible movie is, oh no, let's go see if Tom Cruise kills himself in this one.
Wow.
Right? I heard he hung off the side of a plane for this because he's fucking stupid.
Right? Yeah, that was a great scene. That's fantastic. I mean,
I'm not saying it wasn't a great scene, but I'm just saying that's the arc. It's on that Fast and Furious arc.
Yeah.
It would not surprise me if they went into space in this next one.
Hey man, Vin Diesel doesn't do his stunts like Tom Cruise does, okay?
No, he doesn't. Oh man.
So the end is nonsensical. Some of the story, there's a few flaws that, like, you know, okay, maybe he just gave her the benefit of the doubt and stuff. And I noticed a couple of like technicalities where whenever they snuck into the CIA, they go to Langley to break it, to get steal this information.
Yeah.
And they walk out, then the chick, they go in as firefighters, right?
Yeah.
And chick changes into a secretary outfit.
Yeah, just a regular CIA operator outfit.
And then when they're leaving, she's still wearing her suit. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, she's sick. We'll help her. We're getting her out of here. Well, the next scene, it shows them driving and all sitting in front of the fire truck, and she's back in her fireman suit. So,
maybe he just threw his coat over.
They're all wearing.
I don't know. Who cares?
I'm just saying. They fucked up.
I mean, yeah. It's because they drove those driving scenes back to back. They shot those driving scenes back to back.
Yeah. They're like, we can't afford these fucking fireman outfits the whole movie.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and knock them both out while we're here.
Yep.
Yeah.
No one's ever going to notice that.
For the most part, this movie was very predictable.
Yeah.
Like, just because I didn't understand all the twists that come along with it, I knew immediately when I saw the characters, like, that's a bad guy. That's his wife. She's probably going to be in on this.
Yeah. I mean...
I didn't hate it, but... It's also seeing it now, almost 30 years later. I mean, it's been spoofed to death. So I saw all this coming a mile away.
Yeah, that definitely doesn't help. But my wife was real cute.
Jesus. Yeah.
I would have given her the benefit of the doubt, too.
Yeah.
I was shacking up with her.
I would have put two in the chest and one in the fucking head. Oh. I would have killed her straight up.
Mm. That's not how John Wick works. He doesn't murder people unless...
Ethan Hunt?
Yeah.
Ethan Hunt's not John Wick?
No, not yet.
But no.
I don't think John Wick would have murdered her. Just, you know...
Yes, he would have.
That was an old friend. They were co-workers.
Mm-hmm.
They're in love. He didn't murder the one love interest chick.
Which one?
I don't know. Was there a love interest?
I don't know.
Wasn't there some girl in the new movie that liked him?
No, not really. Even Halle Berry hated him.
He didn't murder that dog.
That's a good dog.
Yeah. Now I understood the movie, at least. I understood all the twist and the how the they filmed it and all the... I don't know if I hate this.
I don't hate it.
No.
No.
Honestly, the second one's the worst. I can tell you that. The second one's by far the worst.
And this was definitely groundbreaking. This was doing its own thing.
Yeah, it is time, yeah.
Nothing else was like this before it. And like I said, man, it's on that Fast and Furious arc, and it's just getting out of hand.
Well, there's only going to be one. There's only one more.
Yeah.
Maybe two. Same thing as Fast and Furious. We're only going to get two more. So
Ethan Hunt is the kind of character that has to lay down his life at some point. He doesn't get to retire. He doesn't get to enjoy the rest of his life.
That's the thing about, it's the same thing with Goldeneye. Or not Goldeneye. The same thing with James Bond.
Yeah.
They never talk about the former ones because they all died.
Like, yeah.
They always get replaced. You're going to die in line of duty. That's
probably
how all of them ended up.
Yeah.
Because they all do stupid, crazy stuff.
And, suicidal stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you think Pierce Brosnan died?
I don't know. In real life, high cholesterol, cancer.
He's not dead in real life.
No, he's not dead in real life.
No, I mean, is a double. You know what? I bet you it was
AIDS,
chlamydia.
What's
because he was
syphilis. Before. That's the one that eats holes in your brain and makes you go crazy.
Oh yeah,
yeah. There you go.
Can guys get syphilis?
Everybody can get syphilis.
Oh shit.
Ben Franklin died of syphilis.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
good for him.
He loved prostitutes.
Well, slaves.
No, not slaves. He loved French whores.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that was Washington, though. Yeah.
That was Jefferson.
Oh, was it Jefferson?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Washington had slaves, too, though.
Oh, yeah, they all did.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think Lincoln had slaves.
I don't know if Franklin had slaves or not. Anyways, this isn't that kind of conversation.
No.
Anyways, Ethan Hunt's going to die.
Of AIDS.
I mean, maybe.
Syphilis
not.
Or chlamydia.
Ethan Hunt's not the kind of character that would die of that, though.
No.
He doesn't have to bang every chick in his series.
Yeah, he doesn't. That's one thing a lot different. You know, the Bond is always the, well, up until Daniel Craig, he was always the sexy, every girl, woos every girl that he runs into and can just, you know, bang anyone.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's more of a, okay, I happen to fall in love, or I have a motivation. I'm going to do my job, and oh, hey, a love interest.
I think Daniel Craig was attractive because he was a believable tough guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was a man who looked like he could beat another man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but Pierce Brosnan, Sean Connery, all those guys, they were too pretty.
They were.
They looked like if they punched a guy, they might break a nail.
Yeah. I respect like the way Daniel Craig did it, or the way they had him. That Bond was he fell in love with Moneypenny.
Yeah,
was a Vesper, and she died. Whatever, it fucked him up.
Yeah,
and like then he only had it took four other movies for him to fall in love again. So like you know it wasn't just
the Daniel Craig arc was basically a revenge plot.
Yeah,
yeah.
We get the new Mission Impossible later this year.
Yeah,
I don't know if this is the last one. If it's the last one, I could see him dying.
Yeah.
As long as...
Ben Reigns.
Yeah, as long as Ben Reigns lives and...
Simon Pegg?
Yeah, and Simon Pegg. Yeah. As long as Ben Reigns and Simon Pegg lives, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Ben Reigns has been there from the beginning, and then Simon Pegg.
I mean, there's been a few other guys in this. I think Jeremy Renner is still in this.
Well, yeah, hopefully...
Somewhere.
I think he filmed it before he got chopped up by that snowplow.
Yeah, he got messed up pretty good.
Which he's been, I saw him on Late Night. He's doing all right. He's doing a little bit better.
Did Henry Cavill's character actually get killed?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he died horribly.
It was the helicopter, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the helicopter rips him off the edge of the cliff.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
That, I love that. That movie is great. Cavill was a great villain.
Yeah.
Man.
A big, dumb, imposing dude.
Yeah.
I mean, Henry Cavill's already huge.
Yeah.
And Ethan Hunt's already a small guy.
Yeah.
So I think if this next one is the last one, then he's going to die. If not, whatever is the last film, he's got to die.
Do you think they just start a new franchise and keep it MI and replace him?
I mean, maybe. I mean, it's not implausible.
Yeah, just start a whole U.S.
But the thing is I don't think Mission Impossible is the kind of series that would introduce the next one in the previous film.
Yeah.
I think that after they finally kill Ethan Hunt, that they just basically start fresh.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
It'll be like 10 years from now that it'll start a new
series. I don't think they try to... I don't think they ever try to introduce a junior character and build him up in order to be a replacement.
But who knows? Maybe he lives happily ever after with that British chick.
Maybe.
I know that his wife comes back into the new one. So the second one probably doesn't have anything to do with the new one because the second one's pretty standalone, even though he had a love interest in that one that you never see again.
Yeah.
But the third one is... the third one we introduced wife, you should watch that one because that one's pretty big.
I'm glad they stopped giving him dumb love interest for no reason.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, that's the one thing I could say, like, apart from most of Bond stuff. It's like he's not banging someone new every movie.
Overall, I can recommend see it. It's definitely one of the more original spy films out there.
Yeah, yeah, it's one of those ones that's like, okay, this is revolutionary. Yeah. See it.
You can see why this franchise become just a juggernaut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And almost 30 years later, we're still getting sequels.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. All right. But that's all I got, man.
Yeah. Yeah, check it out. Like, subscribe, you know. Check
us out if you've listened to us this long, hit the like button. If you have any suggestions for what you want us to do next, just hit us up in the comment section. Let us know. If you don't like us, let us know. If you do like us, let us know.
No, if you don't like us, I don't want to hear about it.
Hit the thumbs down. Just do it.
No.
You a coward?
I'm turning that off.
You afraid?
Yeah. Check us out on your platforms. Thanks for joining us, guys.
See you later, guys. Bye.